Hallelujah. I have to say that that's a Todd Bailey joke. I thought I just liked it. A lot of times he tells some corny ones, but I kind of liked that one. I thought that's a pretty good one. Okay. Now, you know, we're going to talk today about contending for the faith. Okay. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So, you know, that's our definition of faith, our biblical definition. Now, go right on down a little bit in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Romans 10:17 says this, and you ought to know this one. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I'm just talking to you about faith. We're a Word of Faith church. You're a Word of Faith people. You believe what the Word says. You act on the Word, and your faith is in the Word of God. Okay? Now, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38 all say the same thing. "The just shall live by faith." So we're people of faith, and we live by faith. But I want you to turn with me over to Jude, the book of Jude. That's just before Revelations. And let's look over here, and we're going to read about the first seven verses in the book of Jude. It says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So Jude gives us some warning here when we're looking at it. And he tells us, first of all, that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. What's that mean? Well, that means that you stay persistent in your faith. You are always keeping the Word of God, keeping your faith in mind, your walk with God, always keeping that first and foremost in your life. And if you notice there, Jude then goes ahead and gives some examples from the Old Testament and right on up through how that, you know, there were those that at the beginning, they started out good. But somewhere along the line, they began to not believe God. They began to back away from God, and they ended up with themselves in trouble. Now, I want to make sure that you and I are contending for the faith at all times. We are moving toward God. We're always like Paul. We're always pressing toward that mark. Now, when we start reading in Paul's letters, and especially his letters to Timothy, Paul also talks about reasons or why we should contend for the faith. And I want to look at some of them today, because he talks about some things that really will hit home for some of us, and others, maybe you'll say, "Well, that's not nothing that affects me." But you always have to be careful, because the Bible says that you and I, we're susceptible to the things of the world. They can get a hold of us if we're not careful. Amen. The Bible even teaches us, you know, if there's somebody caught up, you know, one that's caught up in a fault, somebody that's caught up in something, it tells us to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, but to be careful for ourselves that we don't get caught up in the same thing too. So he tells us, you know, that we have to be conscious all the time of our walk with God and how we're walking with God, and understand that there's a real devil out there that wants to damn your soul to hell. And he's got a lot of devices that he uses. So we're going to look at some of the things Paul says. One of the things he says, starting in 1 Timothy, we'll be going through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, just looking at a couple things here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about how some shall depart from the faith. Here's what he said, chapter 4, 1 in 1 Timothy. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Notice this, in the latter times. I don't know what you feel like, but I feel like we're living in the latter times. Now, you know, it may be a while before Jesus comes and gets the church, but I do believe we're living in the last days. Come on, we've really been living in the last days ever since the Lord Jesus went to be back into heaven, ascended back into heaven. You say, well, yeah, but that's been way over 2,000 years, Pastor. Well, you know, it's only been a couple of days for the Lord. Right? Because 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. So we have to look at God's timeline on things. You know, our timeline seems, you know, it seems like so long ago. But you have to realize it's only been a short time in God's years. Okay? So he tells us, he says, you know, you have to be careful because there are seducing spirits out there and there are doctrines of devils. I'm going to tell you something. You can get on the internet and find any doctrine that you want to, and they'll call it Christianity. You can find all kinds of things and that are there, and they'll say, well, that's just what the Word of God says. But you have to back up and look what you believe. We have to look at that in the Word of God and find it. Come on, see, there are some slick-tongued devils out there that can twist the Word up on you. I've looked at some of the cults. I've looked at and have seen why they believe and how they teach some things. You know, if you don't know the Word of God, they'll help you to become a Jehovah Witness. Because, I mean, they know what they believe, and they'll twist the Word of God to make it sound like you don't know what you're talking about. But when you know the Word, you know the whole truth, not just parts of the truth. See, that's the enemy always uses partial truths. Right? When he went to Eve, he used partial truths to cause her to disobey God. And that's exactly what the devil does. So here, Paul called them seducing spirits. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul once again, he says this, Galatians 1, 6 through 9 says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I again now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you received, let him be accursed." I want you to understand that this is the Word of God. And anybody that tries to preach you anything that's not in this Word is not the gospel, but either a man's opinion, man-made doctrine, or it's just a doctrine of a devil. So we have to be careful that we don't get seduced, that we don't depart from the faith because we've heard somebody say, well, you know, you're not doing it right. And we start trying to do it like they do it. Do what the Word of God says and you'll always be safe. Amen. That's why I always tell you, when I'm preaching, if you can find something that's not in the Word of God that I've said, unless I told you this is my opinion, and sometimes I'll do that, you know, we all have our opinion about some things, but the gospel is what we have to stick with, what the Word of God actually says. So he talks about, you know, the fact that some can depart from the faith. So see, that's one thing right there that we see a lot of doctrine, is a very popular doctrine, is the eternal security doctrine. You know, and you know, those people really love God, and I understand that I am eternally secure as long as I want to be. Amen. As long as I hold on to Jesus, He'll never let go of me. But He won't make me stay with Him if I want to go. See, that's where I differ with them. Yeah, I don't have any problem with them talking about it or whatever, but you know, here the Bible plainly says that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. So if the Bible says they can, then they can. You know, I like the thoughts that I can get saved, and no matter what I do or say or how I act, I don't ever have to worry about it because I'm going to heaven whether I like it or not. But that's just, it just don't stack up. It just don't line up. The Bible says, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, when you're establishing the Word, you establish the Word upon the Word. the Word interprets itself. So I can go through and any time I need to, and I can find scripture after scripture where the Bible shows me that people that have walked away from Christ after they were saved. Amen. So I know that it's possible. Now, should a person? Absolutely not. Right? What if I do start walk away from God? Repent and come back. But I warn you that there is a place that you can go that's too far. Well, how far is that, Pastor? I don't know. That's between you and God. But I know if there's a such thing as blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And you sure don't want to go farther enough to where there's no turning back. Come on. So we got to be careful and not depart from the faith. I know what it's like to backslide, folks. I've been there and done that. Got saved when I was young. Got around the wrong people and messed up. You know, started living like they lived. Was away from God. You know, and you can say, well, yeah, you're still going to go to heaven. I was not serving God at the time. I wasn't being godly at the time. I had to repent, ask God to forgive me, and thank God He was right there to forgive me. And now I've been given a second chance, but I feel like He's the God of third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh, right? I live a repentant lifestyle now. What do you mean? I mean, every night when I pray, Lord, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I mean, every time when I pray at night, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sin. If I've done anything today, I ask you to forgive me. Amen. You say, well, that you shouldn't have to do that. Well, I don't have to do that, but I do it just because I love Jesus and I don't want to mess up. I want to stay where I need to be. So we've got to be careful that we don't depart from the faith. Now, over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul talks about some that can deny the faith. Now, this kind of touches on some people, but we just have to, it's the Word, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he says, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, he's talking about men taking care of their family. That's what he's talking about here. Notice he says that if he doesn't provide for only, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith. Why? Because God expects the man to be the man of the house. I know we live in loose times now. Okay, you get mad at me about this if you want to. And I understand the times we live in. We get that. But God's original plan was for man to supply and take care of his wife, him to be the supplier for the family, and the wife to take care of home and home matters. I'll show it to you in a few minutes when we get to another place. But that was God's plan. And, you know, we kind of, the world we live in now, it's pretty well taken two people working, and sometimes you have to have two jobs in order to just live and make it. But God's original plan was basically for the man to supply the finances for the house, the woman to take care of the house and the kids, and him work and take care of his family. Now, he says if the man won't do that, then he's denying the faith. In other words, he's not following the plan of God. Amen. Come on now. See, it's really kind of quiet because I know a lot of people, it's not a pleasant subject, but it's still the truth anyway. Amen. God never meant for families to be raised on welfare. Now, you're going to get mad at me about this, but it's the truth. Medicaid was not made to be a lifestyle. Welfare was not made to be a lifestyle. They were developed for people that were having a hard time, that needed a hand up, needed some assistance in a hard time, to be able to have that sort of a resource temporarily till they could get back on their feet and get back to whatever they needed to do. Come on now. For elderly people also, maybe they get to the place where they can't work. Come on now. It was not made for some 30-year-old man that's strong as a horse and just too lazy to work and not feed his family. It was not made for that. You get mad about me if you want to, but if that's the case, then they're denying what God says they ought to be doing. Come on, church. I mean, can we just get real about some things here? We're living in times now that our government has gone so far that they support this kind of thing, and it's become a lifestyle. It gets passed down now. The father starts out and they just teach the kids how to do it, and it just goes from welfare to welfare to welfare to welfare. And after a while, see, because of all the entitlement, let me show you how this thing works a little bit. And you know, we're still talking about what he says, not supplying for your house. How this thing works is, see, people have been entitled so much with the free stuff from the government that the government somehow in their mind got to thinking that our Social Security was an entitlement. They've been giving out free money so long they thought because when we get old enough to retire, our Social Security was an entitlement. Don't look at me so funny. You worked hard and you paid that in, and the company you worked for paid in half of it. It didn't come from the government because the government don't have no money. So the money that you get on your Social Security is not the government giving you something. It's you getting back what you paid in. Besides that, you'll never live long enough to get back what you paid in the first place. But what happened to all that money? Well, they borrowed on it and they supported all the stupid stuff we're finding out that we supported for years and years and years and years. While politicians lined their pockets. And then they tell us, oh, your Social Security ain't going to last because it's going to run out of money. Well, I wonder why. Somebody keeps stealing it, you're going to run out. But again, see, it's stealing the money when you can work and you don't. Did you hear me? When we have people that are able to work and they don't, then that's stealing that money too. Come on, listen, the government rewards it. Have some more children. Don't get married and we'll pay you more for every child you have. It don't matter that you don't take care of them. It don't matter if the grandparents raise them. You just go ahead and have them anyway. We'll pay you for them. Where'd that money come from? You. That's why the Bible's pretty plain about this thing. If you won't take care of at least your own family, you're denying the faith. Well, I didn't mean to get on that little soapbox, but it's some truth. I'm listening. We need some truth spoken into this world today. There's so much going on today that, you know, well, you just don't care about. Yes, I care about people, but you're not helping somebody when you're supporting their habits or supporting that kind of lifestyle. Come on now, folks. You know, I can look around and see. I know folks that get free insurance and are much healthier than I, much younger than I, and they get free insurance. And I have to pay over $3,000 a month for mine. Did you hear what I said? And they get it for free from money I paid in on my taxes. Come on now. I just did a little stint in the hospital. I went in and had some chest pains on Friday afternoon. And I wanted to just go get it checked out. And I didn't want to do it around here because I was afraid I'd end up in a hospital around here. If I knew whatever. But I went down to Ashland and they checked me out. Because I was having some pain, they said, we would like for you to just stay all night. You got a stress test ordered anyway. And we'll just let you do it tomorrow. And to make a long story short, I spent a night in the hospital. They did all kinds of stress tests, all kinds of other tests and all that. And the Saturday, the reason I stayed was because Friday night, they said, we'll do the stress test on you in the morning. Schedule next week, we'll just do it while you're here. I said, okay, I'll stay then. Then they came in on Saturday morning and said, well, we're not going to be able to do the stress test for you today because the hospital only orders so much medicine to do that with, and that's already been scheduled up and stuff, but we'll do yours in the morning. I said, no, you won't. I said, number one, I ain't paying for another night in this place because my insurance don't pay that good anyway. And I said, number two, the only reason I stayed last night because you said you'd do that this morning. I said, so I'm going home. And they said, well, we don't want you to do that. I said, I'm going home. Okay. Now, if I'd had good insurance, would I stay? No, because I wasn't going to miss church. I told them that. You know. So if you miss, you come back and say, well, good news. We bumped somebody else. We're going to go ahead and do yours. But I still never got out of that place till 8:30 last night. You know, but praise God. The good news is everything is perfect. Passed the stress test, flying colors, all blood levels, all the enzymes, all that's great. And praise God, I finally get off those blood thinners they put me on a year ago that keeps causing places like that. It looks like I've been in a cat fight. Every time I touch something, I just bleed and all that. But anyway, I said all that to say this. I'll get a bill, and a big one, because I stayed one night. And those that abuse the system, They won't get no bill on it. They could have stayed the week and they wouldn't get. I'll pay more for one night than what they probably would have paid for a month. You see, but I'm saying this. But that's why the Bible's even talking about this is because things are there for the time that it's needed, but it's not to be abused. And to abuse it is to lie, and it's going against the faith. Okay, let's move on because I know I probably made somebody mad, but that's okay. You can give us people stay mad at me all the time anyway, so it don't matter. Okay, so 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says you can deny the faith. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 11 through the 15, here's why I told you we'd get back into this. He talks about here that some shall cast off the faith. Now, as we get ready to read this, understand that Paul's dealing with some issues in the church. And what he's been dealing with here is how to take care of widows. He's talking about the fact that women that are widows indeed, elderly ladies that their husband has died, they're a widow, and they don't have any family to take care of them. They're alone. Nobody. They don't have anybody at all. So Paul is talking about taking care of them, helping them, taking care of them, making sure they're taken care of. But then he gets down there in verse 11. Here's what he says. But the younger widows refuse. For when they begin to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Now let me give you here verses 12 through 15 in the New Living Testament. He says, they would be guilty of breaking their previous pledge. And if they are on the list, they will learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling in other people's business and talking about things they shouldn't. So I advise these younger widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them, for I'm afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow Satan. Now, Paul, when he's talking about this, notice he's talking about the younger widows. He says, one translation says, don't put them on the list of widows that need to be taken care of. He says, because they're young, they're going to want to marry again. And when they marry again, they've broken their vow as a widow. See, if you read in the King James, it almost sounds like if they marry again, that it's because they married, that separated them from Christ. But he goes ahead then and says they need to just go ahead and get married and have kids and take care of their house. Notice that? What he's talking about is when that widow didn't have anybody to take care of, the church would take care of her. Okay? Then he's talking about, but the younger widows, they would say, hey, I'm a widow, and take the vow of a widow, but then all of a sudden they want to get married, and here you are taking care of them, and they're married. Their husband ought to be taking care of them. And he says, what would end up happening? They're getting to draw a check. Can I say it that way? And he said, they're going around because they're being taken care of, and all they're going to do is, notice he said, be busybodies in everybody's business. In other words, they're going to have idle time on their hands. He said, so my advice is just they go ahead and get married, have kids, that'll keep them busy, take care of their own home, right? He says, that's what they need to be doing, not just running around just from house to house and be idle, somebody else taking care of them. Okay. He says here that, you know, they'd cast off their first faith. What does it mean? That means they're going to cast off where they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and they'll get back out there. And he says some of them's already turned to the devil. Now, some of them's already out in the world. Some is already doing other things, you know. And so that's what he's talking about with this. So he says they'll cast off the faith. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he talks about the fact that some shall be seduced from the faith. Listen to this one. This will kind of hit. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, he says, Paul writes and he says to Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice that. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, a lot of folks think money's evil, but money's not evil. It's the love of money. And you see, that can come in a lot of forms, the love of money. See, we have to be careful to make sure that we don't let money lure us away and cause us to go against God. Amen. Because money can cause you to see something in a different eye. Remember when Joshua was going up against Jericho? God had told him, this city is mine. Everything's in its mind. You don't take anything out of the city. Remember that? They march around the city. They shout. The walls fall. They go in and they take the city. But Achan, he takes some stuff out of the city. And God then, the blessing of the Lord comes away from them. They go up to fight just in a little city. And they get defeated. And Joshua's, what's going on, God? You're always with us. How come we got defeated? And God said, well, there's sin in the camp. Somebody has taken of the accursed thing. You see, what you have to understand is Jericho was the first of 10 cities that the children of Israel would be taking. And so Jericho was the tithe city. See, a lot of folks, you take the tithe lightly, but you can't take the tithe lightly. Come on, God says the tithe is mine. And what he said about this city, this is my city and everything in it's mine. So nobody touches any of it. And they bring Achan out and they start questioning everybody. Who's done this? Who's done this? And finally, in Joshua 7:21, Achan admits that he sinned. He said, well, I saw a Babylonian garment there. And he said, I took it. And then he said, I saw 200 shekels of silver and I took that. Then I saw a gold wedge that was worth about 50 shekels. And he said, I coveted them. Coveted them. What's that mean? I saw them and I wanted them. I desired them. Even though God had said, no, that's mine. He took them. See, we have to be careful, folks, that we don't take what belongs to God. We can get ourselves in trouble quicker than anything with that. If we're working and making money, the tithe belongs to the Lord. He gives us the strength, the breath, and the energy to be able to make that money. Understand, money is just your seed. Did you hear me? Money is seed for you to sow so that God can multiply it. We say it every time that we take up an offering, right? God gives it back, what? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The first 10% belongs to God. The other 90%, that's yours to do whatever you want to with. Boy, it's getting quiet. Yeah, but now, Pastor, they don't teach that in other churches. Now, I know. I expect to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I won't be. I don't want to be caught doing something with God's money. Come on. I don't want to be like you. Do you understand that when Achan disobeyed God, it brought a curse upon him and his whole family? Destroyed them all. I don't want to destroy my family because I'm greedy after God's 10%. I'll take my 90% blessed rather than 100% cursed. Amen. Come on, church. See, we got to understand that. I've not taught in tithes in a while, but I probably ought to get into that a little bit more, because you want to be blessed, then you be a giver. And you see, here's the thing about the tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord. But when we talk about giving, it shall be given to you, that's offerings. Come on, the tithe belongs to the Lord anyway. And that's where he says over in Malachi, see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Okay, that's the tithe. It belongs to the Lord anyway. You haven't given a dime until after you've given above the tithe. Don't get mad at me now. It's the truth. The tithe belongs to the Lord, so that's His anyway. That'd be just like you coming and borrowing my car and bringing it back to Him and saying, here, I gave you a car. Right? It was already mine. You just gave me what was mine. Now, if you bring my car back and say, hey, I filled it up with gas for you. Now you went above the tithe, okay? You gave me my car plus gas. Come on now. You see what I'm saying? When we give offerings above the tithe, now we're getting over into the pressed down, shaken together, running over blessing. Amen. So he says here, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. See, believe me, I struggled with this. I struggled with the tithe. Pastor Ed and I, you know, we just lived from paycheck to paycheck. I've told you this before. When I was 17, I started in the strip mines, and our budget then was whatever unemployment would pay that winter when we got laid off. I mean, you know, if we didn't have money, so we had to borrow money for everything. If we bought furniture, we had to go finance it. We bought a vehicle, we had to go finance it. Anything tore up, a lot of times we'd have to go borrow money to get it. But we could never allow our bills to be what's above what the unemployment was going to pay that winter. You see? So we always watched. And so when we started hearing about the tithe, and we'd never heard it all of our life, and we started hearing about from the Word of God about the tithe, that smothered us. Come on, hold your hand up if it smothered you the first time you heard about having to give 10%. Come on now. Yeah, be honest. You know, some of you maybe have brought up in it, but I wasn't brought up in stuff like that. It never been said, you know. But once we heard that, you know, but we also knew that if we did the Word of God, God would bless us. And we started tithing. Once we started tithing, it's a long story, but, you know, now we don't even think twice about it. I've told you before, it don't matter. If somebody gives me a $10 bill, I'm giving a dollar of it to God. Amen. If I make some money doing something, get some extra money somewhere, whatever, I'm giving it. Every dime I make, I tithe on. This church, every dime that comes in and tithes and offerings, 10% of it gets tithed out of here. Amen. Why? Because I want the blessing of the Lord on my life, on your life, and on this church. Amen. Don't mean the enemy won't fight you on your finances. I promise you he will. But I promise you, be faithful, God will never fail you. He's never failed me yet. And see, that makes some people mad. They puff up when you start talking about money. But you see, notice that. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why he says that here. Because some people would love their money so much they'd rather keep it, take a chance. I don't want to take a chance. I want God's favor on my side. Okay? Now, so he says some can be seduced by coveting after money. I know folks that have went after money and quit church because they went after the money. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It's good to make money. We all like money, right? Money, right? The Bible says money answereth all things. It's good to have money. But if it's going to sacrifice your relationship with God, then you better stay away from it. I'd rather be a less paid person than the blessing of the Lord than a well-paid person and have myself in trouble with the Lord. So don't get seduced by money, especially the love of money. Okay? Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he talks about some erring concerning the faith. And he writes to him in verse 20 here, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. And he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Let me give you a couple other translations. And in verse 20, here in the Message Bible, he says, And, O my dear Timothy, guard the treasure you were given. Guard it with your life. Avoid the talk show religion and the practice confusion of so many of the so-called experts. In the Amplified, it says this in verse 20, 21. O Timothy, guard and keep the deposit entrusted to you. Turn away from the irreverent babble and godless chatter with the vain and empty worldly phrases and the subtleties and the contradictions in what is falsely called knowledge and spiritual illumination. For by making such professions, some have erred, missed the mark as regards the faith. Grace, divine favor, and blessing be with you all. Amen. So he's talking about those that erred concerning the faith, and he's talking about those that think they know it. Those that have a special notice that they have a spiritual illumination. There are folks that have these revelations that don't line up with the Word of God. Well, I've got a word for you, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So you have to be careful. And Paul says, you have to be careful of those that they've erred concerning the faith. They've gotten off the mark. They're not staying with the Word of God. There was a thing that here not long ago where there was a group of preachers, and some of them well known. They got over into this doctrine that you didn't have to ask the Lord to save you. Everybody was already saved. And they got into this, you didn't have to repent and all that stuff. And a lot of folks got to following after that. And they led a lot of folks astray with that kind of thing. Well, it went against the Word of God, right? Whoso shall ever call upon the name of the Lord, right? Confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved. Right? If you were already saved, then there you go. So he says, you have to be careful about all these doctrines that come down the road. Church, be careful of those. I like how the one said these so-called talk show religion. Anybody ever, there used to be a man on, and I don't know I don't remember his name or anything, but he used to be on every morning. And people would write in letters and he'd sit behind his desk and answer questions. They'd ask him spiritual questions and he'd give them answers. And I've sat there and listened to him before and I thought, my gosh, how many people is he leading astray? Because they trusted him. They believed that he knew what he was talking about. And he missed the word so many times. And so you have to be careful. Just because somebody's on TV don't mean they're giving you the word. Just because somebody's popular don't mean they're giving you the word. Come on, there are the so-called talk show religions. Folks that get on there, especially now there's so many podcasts. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful of those that are critical of others. You say, well, you're being critical, right? No, I'm just telling you to line up whatever somebody says with the Word of God. And if it don't line up with the Word of God, you better not listen to them. Stay away from that. He says there are some that have erred concerning the faith. And that's not somebody you need to listen to. You need to listen to somebody that's going to stay in the Word and stay with the Word and tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. Come on, there's a lot of sugarcoating goes on, folks. A lot of preachers have begin to sugarcoat and been doing it for a long time now to draw a crowd. Come on now. They've done it to draw a crowd. And I was thinking this morning, about how many has heard about Cracker Barrel. They're all talking, about Cracker Barrel. Go woke, go broke, talking about, for y'all that don't know, the CEO, they've been kind of, their profits have been down and they're having the CEO now that they're going to change everything about Cracker Barrel. They're not going to be. And some things I read, I don't know how much is true because, bonjour, you can believe everything on the internet, right? Yeah. But from what I heard, it's going to be just a whole different style of dining. But anyway, they're taking away all the old stuff and they're bringing in all this new stuff to try to draw different people and different styles and different things of dining. But anyway, I was sitting there thinking about that and I thought, if the church is not careful, it'll become the Cracker Barrel Church. Come on now. Here's the thing you've got to understand. God never changes. God never changes. Now His methods do. Did you hear me? It's not maybe not so bad if they want to change the appearance of Cracker Barrel, but they decided, we're taking away the menu that they've had. That's what's kept them where they were at. And they're going to do this new updated menu and all that. Well, you see, that's the way a lot of the churches have done. They've taken away the gospel and now they're trying to be more prevalent in the day. And so we're going to be more accepting and we're going, you won't hear them talking about homosexuality being wrong. You won't hear them talking about living together being wrong. You won't hear them talking about having welfare when you don't need it being wrong. Come on now. Why? Because it's not popular. It doesn't build crowds. It doesn't build a big church. But it's still the truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so we've got to be careful that we don't try to change to meet where the world's at. If anything's going to happen, the world's got to come to the Word. That's what's going to change the world. Did you hear me? It's not us, the church, trying to change. And I understand Paul said, I became all things to all people. What he was talking about, I made myself relatable to everybody. Didn't matter whether they were rich, I would relate to them. If they were poor, I would relate to them. But he never changed the gospel to do it. You see, and that's what's happening in the world today, is the gospel is being changed a lot, because we wouldn't want to talk about the blood of Jesus on a Sunday morning, because that'd just be too gross. A lot of churches have quit talking about the blood. We wouldn't want to talk about the cross because that was too violent. If it weren't for the cross, you and I wouldn't be here today. You see. So we have to be careful that in all of our critiquing, we're not getting totally away from the Word of God and erring concerning the faith. Because the faith that we live is based upon a cross that Jesus was nailed to. And the blood that He shed on that cross for our remission of sins. And about Him being placed in a tomb and on the third day rising again. You see, I can go to church with about anybody as long as they'll believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. Some of the other stuff, I mean, we're not going to fight and argue about that. But if we can come together on that one core belief, then we all right. We can associate together. But when you start trying to take the cross out, you're trying to take the blood away, you try to take Jesus out of the picture, I don't want nothing to do with that. You see, so they're talking about how some of them are coming up with their own doctrines, that kind of thing. They've erred concerning the faith. Now, over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, Paul talks about how some shall overthrow the faith of others. You know, it matters who you hang around. It matters who you hang out with and who you let whisper in your ear. I've seen in this church some folks that have left here because somebody started whispering in their ear. Well, I tell you what they do up there. They just preach too much condemnation on everybody up there. There is therefore now no condemnation those that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Did you hear me? If you're not doing nothing wrong, then what I'm telling you right now shouldn't bother you. You ought to be able to amen me all the way. But if I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God, you ought to be convicted about it. Why? Because you probably need to repent. If I say something, I need to repent. You see? But you see, there are those that, you know, they want to, oh no, that's just not the way it is, you know. And they especially one of those that preach the greasy grace type of message that, you know, says everything is all right. You don't have to worry about anything after you got saved. But listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 and through 18. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, what was going on here is these two characters here, they were telling people, you know, the Christianity is based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He rose again on the third day. But also one of the major doctrines of Christianity also is that Jesus is returning to take His church home, and we're all going to be caught up in there to meet the Lord in there, right? That's that great resurrection that's going to come. It's called the rapture. We call it the rapture. The Bible calls it the catching up. That's what the word rapture means. That's the basis of Christianity. Okay? And these two characters were telling people, hey, that's already happened. You're just left. There's no hope for you. And so it was causing people to their faith to be on. Well, you know, what's the point then? Why try to live for the Lord if I'm not having an opportunity for heaven, then what am I doing? And see, that's that there are characters out there that are doing that kind of thing right now. They're saying, well, you know, you don't have to worry about it, you know, because if you're already saved and you won't ever have to worry about nothing, you'll get to go to heaven one of these days, maybe. And then there are those that preach a predestination thing that says that every person that's going to heaven was predestined to go to heaven, and you are, his grace is so irresistible that you can never turn him down. You'll have to be saved before it's over and you'll get to go to heaven. Which also means that some of you weren't chosen, so you ain't got a chance. Really, we have some of those around here. Actually, it's the Calvinist doctrine. If you want to know what doctrine is, that's the doctrine of John Calvin, predestination, that he had irresistible grace that you can't turn it down. Well, my Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Whosoever will. That's everybody, right? Whoever wants salvation can have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ by accepting Him as your personal Savior. That's what the Bible says. Now, I understand the Bible talks about predestination, but when he's talking about God's predestinated a church. And you can be part of that church if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you're in the body of Christ and you are the church. Okay? But you have to be careful. You have to understand that can overthrow the faith of some. If I was listening to somebody preach that and I wasn't saved yet, I'd be wondering if I was even part of that predestined bunch. I'm not saved yet. Am I going to get to go? So you have to be careful about these things. Here, you know, they were saying, you know, you don't have a chance. The resurrection's already happened. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, Paul talks about some shall be reprobate concerning the faith. Let's read this. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Can I just stop for a minute? Did that just not describe the world we're living in today? Absolutely. We've got it. You know, it's all about love. It's all about this. Now, you know. That's what he says in the last day. This is going to be perilous times. Lovers of their own self. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which crept into houses, led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. What's he talking about here, Jannes and Jambres? Well, you see, if you go over and you look in Exodus, you'll find that in chapter 7, I believe it is verse 11, Moses there, when he goes to Pharaoh, and he says, you know, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Aaron's got a rod in his hand. And Aaron throws down his rod and it turns into a serpent. Well, these two dudes, they're there and they're sorcerers, magicians. They're Pharaoh's spiritual people. The difference is they're getting their power from the devil. Well, they throw their staves down. Guess what happens? They turn into snakes too. But so that God could show who was really God, the Bible says that Aaron's snake ate up the other two. And then it turned back into a staff. You see, what was God doing? God was showing, I'm God. This other stuff is all false. I'm going to tell you something. There are folks out there that operate in the power of the devil, and they can do things. When you start dealing with psychics, you're dealing with witchcraft. And demonic activity. Oh, but now, but listen, Pastor. Those psychics, man, they found little children that's been kidnapped and lost. Sure they did. You think it was God that kidnapped the child? No, it was the devil. He steals, kills, and destroys, right? So would it be a hard thing for the devil to tell one of his followers, hey, this kid's over here. You know why? Because he's the one that had him put there. You understand that? Stay away from that kind of stupidness. Stay away from astrology. Fortune tellers. Come on now. I like Chinese. But I eat the cookie. I even read what the little thing says and then I just laugh. Because that's not what determines my destiny. My destiny is determined by Him and the way I live my life with Him and the things that come out of my mouth and the way I conduct myself according to the Word of God. Come on, church. You see, so you have to understand that there are things out there, and you got to know here that there are things coming with the Antichrist. And the Bible says that he's going to be able to do some things. And you can be deceived because it'll look like the power of God, but it's not. So we have to understand this is all, it's all possible. And that's where you've got to be able to distinguish the real power of God from that fake power. God will always show himself mighty, and you'll be able to tell the difference. Matter of fact, whatever the devil does won't line up with the Word of God. But whatever God does, he'll line up with his Word. Amen. So you have to be careful about that. That's why I'm very careful about who I let in this pulpit. And Brother Danny Johnson, if you missed him, man, you missed a great time and a true man of God. Well, I found out, just different people that he spoke to through and by the gifts of the Spirit through a word of knowledge. And man, he was on there. He didn't have a clue because I sure didn't tell him anything about anybody. Because I know better than to do that. I want him, if he hears, to be able to hear from God. And so that's where that you read in chapter 12 there of 1 Corinthians, where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. That's what happened there. It was a great Sunday morning, Sunday night, a good time. You say, well, Pastor, why don't you do that more often? You can only do that when God has you do it. Amen. And somebody that's an evangelist, prophet, kind of along to get that lines, they're going to operate more fluently than that, than me that sees you every day. Knows your life a lot of times and what's going on in your life. I can pray for you. I can lay hands on you. Believe God with you. But, you know, then sometimes God does give me something every now and then through that. But as a pastor, it's not as likely in your home church. Most of the time, I can operate better when I'm somewhere where I don't know people. Because that way, I know it's not me. And God can use me to do that, to touch somebody's life. And so here, you know, they tried to show like, oh, we got the same power that you got. But God said, no, you ain't got the power to get eat up. So he ate theirs up and turned back into the staff. So be careful about being a reprobate concerning the faith. Don't get caught up in this junk that you see, you know, happening. You know, people doing these crystals and all that. And be careful with the yoga stuff. Okay, nothing wrong with exercising, but be careful. Don't get caught up in that religion, because that's part of some Eastern religion. Okay, watch and make sure you stay with the Word of God. Okay, be there. All right, now there are going to be a lot of things that come against our faith. Okay, we're going to have a lot of things that come against us, but here's all we got to do. We're commanded to make sure that we stay strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So when something's coming at us, grab your word. See if it's lined up with the word. Somebody tells you something, see if you can back it up by the word of God and not just by a partial scripture. You should be able to trace it out and find it more than once in the scripture. Don't just go with what one person says. Look, don't go with just, I challenge you. Don't go by what I've said today. My notes are on the internet. You can just go back and get the notes and go back and research this out for yourself. Look and see if I didn't stay in the Word with you. You see, that's one of the reasons we put them there. We want you to follow along. We want you to sit in the Word. I don't want you to take pastor said, you know, well, now my pastor says, look in the Word of God so you can look at it and say, now the Word of God says. And they can't argue with the Word of God. Well, they'll try to. Most time they'll, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But if the Word said it is true, and then you're wrong. Right? God's not a man. He can lie. He always tells the truth. But church, let's make sure that we continue to contend for the faith. Stay persistent. Stay after the Word of God. Stay after the things of God. Don't let the things that are in the world deter you from being the best child of God that you can be. The best example of a believer that you can be. The person that God can count on when He needs to count on you. Amen? Come on.